Welcome back. This is lesson 6 of our podcast series on the book of Proverbs. Let's get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this time and this opportunity to come and look into your word, learn from you, God. Open our hearts, minds, and ears to receive what you want us to get out of this lesson so we can apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so just a quick review. The word Proverbs, we talked about this when we first started. Two words, pro. Verb, P-R-O, meaning before. Verb, meaning an action word, right? So this is a before action, understanding what we need to do before it happens, to be proactive living rather than reactive living. And what is that? That is wisdom. Wisdom is the art and act of living. It is applied knowledge. We basically have been learning that if we do not act on what we know, we are not utilizing wisdom. We're not using wisdom. We've already established that. We said before that it is stupid to know something and not act on it. So if I know right from wrong and choose wrong, I am stupid. I am not wise. Pretty basic, self-explanatory. That's what we've been kind of diving into, right? So when Pastor first opened up the study for us back in, I think it was 2018. Yeah, 2018. He gave us 8 areas where we are to apply wisdom in our lives. The first area we discussed at length was the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And now today, we want to talk about friends. Friends. How many of us have them? I'm not going to break out into a random friend song every time I say that word. Don't worry. All right. So the book of Proverbs is the best manual you'll find on people skills, because it was given to us by the God who made us, who made people, the God who can teach us what we need to know about human relationships. If we learn and practice God's wisdom, we will find ourselves improving in people skills and enjoying life much, much more. So the definition of friend: a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. And for our purposes, it is also important to note that the Hebrew word ra'a can mean friend and neighbor, as in love your neighbor as yourself. So kind of keep this in mind as we go through this study. So let's examine a biblical example of a good friendship. And we're going to turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. Again, I'm reading from the NASB version. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that Jonathan committed himself to David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his military gear, including his sword and his bow and his belt. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 to 7. Then Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul and said to him, "May the king not sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hands and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all of Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then would you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death for no reason?" Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, "As the Lord lives, David shall not be put to death." Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. And lastly, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 11 to 17. Jonathan said to David, "Come, let's go out to the field." So both of them went out to the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, is my witness. When I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if he has a good feeling toward you, shall I not then send word to you and inform you? If it pleases my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to me, and more so if I fail to inform you and send you away so that you may go in safety. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And if I'm still alive, will you not show me the faithfulness of the Lord so that I not do die, that I do not die? And you shall never cut off your loyalty to my house, even when the Lord cuts off everyone of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with David. Well, Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord demand it from the hands of David's enemies. And Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as much as he loved his own life. David and Jonathan, this is the essence of friendship, to love one another as you love yourself. Not only this, but Jonathan sacrificed for David, stripping himself of the items which represented his power and position and giving them to him. Jonathan was also unwaveringly loyal to David, warning him of King Saul's treachery and intent to kill him. The two friends shared a close emotional bond as well and were unafraid of sharing their feelings, weeping when it became clear that David had to leave. These three things displayed love, loyalty, and emotional openness are three things or three traits that psychologists deem necessary for friendships to thrive. The basis of friendship. Proverbs makes it clear that true friendship is based on love, because love will endure the test that friends experience as they go through life together. It is possible to have many companions, but no real friends. Friendship is something that has to be cultivated, and its roots must go deep. God's people must be especially careful when choosing their friends. Why? Oh, y'all are not here to answer. Time is precious. We should spend time wisely by spending it with trustworthy people. We shouldn't consent to relationships that drag us down, interfere with our walk with God, or hinder our spiritual growth. So let's talk about the interfering with our walk with God and what kind of relationship could do that. Relationships with people who aren't saved. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and lawlessness share together? Or what does light have in common with darkness? Or what harmony does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? It's talking about being equally or unequally yoked. Yoking two animals together that are pulling in two different directions. This is why God consistently warns us against this. We should be in regular fellowship with other like-minded believers, because this will deepen our faith and provide us with role models who influence us toward godliness. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous person is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Those who want to grow in wisdom will make it a point to keep company with the wise. Now, it is important to share the gospel with the lost, but in the process, we must be very careful not to become friends with the world. Think about that. James 4:4 says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I think that is so profound and something that we don't necessarily consider when we're analyzing our relationships. Now, we all have relationships, I'm sure, with individuals that may not know Christ. But again, it's about being careful and being mindful and putting them in their proper place. So I'm going to stop here, but I want you guys to take this week to think about its impact on your life decisions when you're thinking about these relationships that you have with individuals who may not know Christ. Who is the main influencer in that relationship, you or them? Think about that. Keep that in mind and be honest. You know, a lot of times, well, oh, no, I know I'm I'm the influencer. I invite them to church. Well, church is closed, you know, in this pandemic season. Really sit back for a minute and think about that. And does it go beyond just inviting them to church? Think about that. Who is the main influencer in that relationship, you or that unsaved person? Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your truth. Allow us to be open enough to analyze rightly the relationships that we have in our lives. Show us what we need to see about us and about those around us so we can make better decisions, more informed decisions, and just have an eye on certain things that are going on around us. Reveal to us, continue to reveal to us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us. And I will talk to you next time. Have a good one.